Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. We did it again, by the way. Once again, we received a heads up that, hey, Stranger Appreciation Day is coming, and we just did not mention it. We did not.
Well, I blame you. You're in charge of this.
You know what? I'll wear it. I screwed up.
It's your fault.
It's my fault.
There you go. I mean, I told you the other day, I don't know what to do whenever you agree with me. I just have to say
I'm gonna
yes.
Start doing this a lot. I'm just going to be like, as soon as I see you starting to get...
I know I'm wrong.
As soon as I see you starting to get worked up, I'm just going to be like, I think you're right. And just see what you do.
It really is a conundrum for me. When I push myself over the edge,
yeah,
and then somebody's like, you know what? You're right.
Right. Did you ever watch Billions?
No.
There's a scene in there where the main character is trying to convince other people that he's mad at this guy. So he has him in his soundproof office. He's like, we're going to act like this. And then the guy's like, oh, is that what we're going to do? It's like that. It's like, poke me. You know, so.
Oh, dude, look at them. They're going nuts.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they did. So that can be us. Anyway, Strange Brew Coffee House.
I'm going to go by there tonight.
Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Aura.
Would be a little weird.
Not
have
aura,
a lot of aura,
like,
though.
Not like Aura Farming. It's just O-R-A.
Oh.
I'm sure it's actually Aura or something.
I was going to say Strange Brew has a lot of aura.
They do have a lot of aura, but that's a different kind of aura.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. And I was looking at the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page today. They are now taking nominations for their best burger and best steak in Mississippi. So where's your favorite place to get a burger? Where's your favorite place to eat a great steak? Let them know at the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page. And maybe your favorite restaurant can be getting the credit they deserve. And this weekend, if you're cooking out or if you're just going out to eat, make sure that beef is the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you are looking for new gear with the state script and the interlocking logo on it, if you're looking for a perfect Christmas gift, because that's just not too far away. You know, it's October. The first wisps of fall are starting to get out there. Winter will be here soon, and it'll be time to talk about the holidays. Don't get caught behind. Go to College Corner now for that Mississippi State fan. Or you know what? If you got one in your life, that Ole Miss Rebel, they've got it all at College Corner. I know. It's tough. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. We love a trip to Restaurant Tyler for lunch. I just love a blue plate, man. The blackened catfish is my favorite. Robbie is a fried catfish or fried chicken kind of guy. Big Daddy's a pork chops kind of guy. That's the thing. When you go to Restaurant Tyler, you kind of fall into that, you know, hey, this is what I normally get. But that's the great thing is if you do want to change it up, you got great options. If you want to have the best lunch in town, it's real simple to do it. Head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to someone who knows you as well as they know your money. You need to talk to a banker who wants to have a personal relationship with you. Let PriorityOneBank.com make you their priority. Later in the show, we're going to go on the, I guess we should start calling it the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline at this point. Talk to David Nuno of Texags Radio to get a preview on his side of the maroon and white divide. But first, Robbie, let's talk you and I. This is the thing that's that stood out to me in the days since the Tennessee game, is the number of mistakes Mississippi State made, both self-inflicted and just so on and so forth. And yet, they had the ball first and goal on the 6-yard line with a chance to tie the game and continue it, keep it going in overtime, or perhaps go for two and go for the win. Despite all their mistakes, they were punch for punch with Tennessee. They had the lead in the fourth quarter. My question is this. If this team plays a clean game, if they can clean up some of these mistakes, protect Chapin a little bit better, Chapin, a little more judicious with the ball, get rid of some of the untimely penalties, clean up a couple of the special teams errors they have every now and then. What's the ceiling here? How good can this team in this season be if they just execute a little bit cleaner?
I think we're seeing that this team could be a lot better than we thought preseason. I mean, we thought they were going to be more competitive. We thought they were going to be deeper, more talented. But just looking at the first few games, you go through every single ball game and every game they've made major mistakes. Mm-hmm. They were able to overcome them in the first four games, and they overcame within the game. They overcame those plays to be in position, but they didn't overcome it against Tennessee overall.
Right.
If you don't have those two turnovers, which we can't really play this game because Tennessee had the same mistakes, but
correct.
Let's just look at Mississippi State and it's taking care of itself. And we coaches talk about all the time, focusing on ourselves, focusing on what we do, doing things the way we need to be, do them, whatever. If you look at that game and Mississippi State cuts down on their penalties again, what they had a 62-yard touchdown call back. Now, they ended up scoring on that drive, but still. They've had numerous big plays called back this year on penalties. The penalty situation is a big problem for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Certain blocking schemes, like the execution on the line of scrimmage, mistakes made by Blake Chapin, you take away that stuff, you start to peel that stuff out of your game, which is what Jeff Lebby's goal is. He said they don't need to limit it. They need to eliminate that from their game. You
throw
take
some
that
missed
away.
Tackles.
This
throw
is
some
a
missed
team.
Tackles in there as well. The State had a couple of missed tackles here and there that ended up costing them in this game. Just little things. There's a pile.
Zachary Tillman, who had an incredible ball game, missed a tackle in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And that missed tackle turned into a 25-yard touchdown. So it's just little things that they're not doing right at the moment that it could cost them in games down the road. But if they're cleaned up, this is a team that could be very dangerous. They really can. The offense, what they do offensively in the scheme, you look at the players that they have in position offensively with Brendan Thompson and Anthony Evans and the running back crew, the amount of time that Blake Chapin's had in this system and in college football, like this team can be better. And they're averaging over 35 points a game offensively. Defensively, they're top 50 defense right now. They're missing some tackles. They're having some misassignments in the secondary. They're having penalties that they shouldn't have. If you eliminate those little things that are solvable, this could be a team that is, we look at the end of the season, that is far exceeding expectations. They've already exceeded expectations, but it could be a different level. It also gives you hope for moving forward
mm-hmm.
in year three, what a team looks like under Jeff Lebby that's been around and been in the system for 3 years, what that could look like.
Because, we gave, I don't know if we gave him a lot of grief is the right way to put it, but, Lebby talked about continuity, and you and I were both like, I don't know. Don't know with Hutz. It was concerning, but it seems to have paid off, because I think that not only are they more talented, but they appear to be more capable. There were times last year, and I think we've talked about this, where a running back would bounce outside and there was nobody there. And now, at least, if nothing else, there are guys in position to make plays. And I think, obviously, some of that is an increase in talent, but some of that is just an increase of awareness, of knowledge of what to do in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it. You mentioned
that's why retention in the offseason is so big.
Yeah. You mentioned penalties. I didn't realize this. I did an interview earlier today with Texags Radio, And State and Texas A&M, I think, are only separated by one in the country in penalties. State's like 132, and they're 133 or something like that. So a lot of flags are probably going to be flying this game in College Station. The team who has the fewer of them, that's going to go a long way for them. I think that – I just say this. I don't know if State can get to its ceiling this year because they still are less talented than they would like to be. But their ceiling is, as you said, it's much higher than you and I both thought it was going to be. I had four and you had five. The ceiling is there I'm not even joking, for like eight or nine. But they have to play their best football in every game to have that chance. And with a team like this where you don't have a lot of depth, you know, you're starting to see some injuries pile up. We're going to get the injury report, you know, as we're recording here. It's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. We'll get that report later tonight. If State's missing a guy like Albert Reese, if they're missing a guy like Isaac Smith, they don't just have a next guy. You know, coaches love to talk about next man up. Well, you can, yeah, there's a next man up in terms of somebody who's going to play, but they don't have the same talent level as these guys. It's crazy though, and I've done a couple of interviews with people, and the recognition outside of Starkville of, man, Lebby has got this going in the right direction. He's done a fantastic job. People are starting to see what Jeff Lebby is doing, and I think that nationally that they're starting to get some idea that this program, I don't know if it's, I don't want to say back. I feel like they have to win an SEC game before I could say they were back, but they're getting there, and they're every game the rest of the way, State is going to have a chance to win. And I'll tell you this, you know, the line this week is 14.5, something like that. I think State's going to cover that pretty easily. State's covered every game this year. I don't see any reason to think that this game won't be a one-possession game that goes deep into the fourth quarter before it's decided.
This has been a team that's covered routinely since Lebby's been here. Now, the spread was so high the last year whenever you went on the road against Texas and Tennessee, but they covered.
You still cover. I'm trying to think. I don't remember what the spread was for Missouri, but I know they covered the Egg Bowl. I know they covered.
I don't think they covered. I don't think they covered Missouri.
I don't think they did either.
No, because Missouri won big. Missouri won big.
Yeah, they won by 19, and I'm sure they were more than less than a 19 point.
I'm pretty sure they covered Egg Bowl. Mm-hmm. They covered
Tennessee.
They definitely covered Georgia. They definitely covered Texas and Tennessee.
Yeah. They didn't cover Arkansas, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think they covered Texas A&M too. They only lost by 10.
Yeah. So this team has, and that to me tells me that you have a coach that gets his team ready. Mm-hmm. How many times did we look up in an SEC game? You know, Dan Mullen was kind of – he beat everybody he was supposed to beat, and he couldn't really win the big games.
Right.
Joe Moorhead, you would have some up and down in there. Mike Leach was like that too. You didn't really know what to expect. One week they're there to play, and one week they get blown out. So Mississippi State's had coaches that have been up and down. This might be the best on very, very small, window that we have with Jeff Lebby so far. He might be the best at getting his team prepared to play. I mean, really, I mean, you look at his teams every single week with the exception of, you know, Toledo, and I don't really count Northern Illinois because they controlled that ball game.
They controlled the game. Yeah. They won the game easily. Yeah.
That game, and maybe they came out to play against Missouri. That Toledo might be the one game that they just looked like they weren't ready to play.
I agree with that. I mean, even the Arkansas game, I felt like they played hard. They just were horribly coached in that game. That game I put 100% on coaching, not in terms of being ready to play, but just in terms of the game plan was bad that day.
And defense just couldn't
get stopped.
A nosebleed.
But yeah.
That's the thing too about the defense. We talked about the defense, like you were talking about last year, off like running backs bouncing outside and there's nobody there. They couldn't tackle last year. Like it was helpless. It was like guys getting absolutely road graded by the offensive line, and if you made it through there, you were getting steamrolled by the steamroller behind it.
Right.
So and you know, guys stepping up in position, just getting rolled over. It finally looks like a Mississippi State defense again that makes a tackle on the first hit that is in the open field and you got a tackle made. I know the play in overtime notwithstanding, but the defense for the most part has been fundamentally sound. They've made tackles, they've gotten to the ball, and they've stopped guys on the first lick. And last year, that was not always the case. So that's something that you got to see this week. It's kind of strange to say, but out of those guys that were out the other day, that went out of the game, Isaac Smith feels like the most replaceable
Which is
this
a
week.
crazy thing to say
And it feels
when you
really
think
weird
about
to
it.
say.
Yeah.
But that, I feel like Tony Mitchell can. There was a clip going around where he had a bad defensive play. Understand that. But from a standpoint of having the ability to go make plays, I feel like Tony Mitchell can do that. He's talented enough that he can go out there and provide a lot of things that Isaac did. You can't lose Brennan Thompson, and you can't lose Albert Reese.
Right.
You got to have those guys back. And I don't know if they're going to be back this week. If they aren't, it's going to be very difficult to go to Texas A&M and win that ball game. But if it's a situation where they are 50%, it's one of those deals where I feel like you probably just need to punt without them and take your shot and take that week off to get them fully healthy for the stretch run here. You can't afford to have those guys get further banged up and they're out for the season. They are incredibly important for you to try to get to a bowl game. And I don't think it's impossible for State to get to a bowl game without Albert Reese. I don't think Brennan Thompson is a long-term deal. And I don't really think Albert is either, but if there is any situation where, they play this week and they're going to get further injured if they take a certain hit or whatever, you can't play them
Right.
because you got way more important games coming down the line here.
Yeah, especially and with the bye week next week, I mean, it's
Yes.
just not worth the risk, right? You know, if
Having
they don't,
2 weeks off
yeah,
would be great.
I think you're right about that. I think State could win without Thompson. I feel it really difficult for them to win without Reese because he was like the linchpin of all of their success running the football last week. And this is just,
And pass blocking, like it,
yeah.
they're going to bring pressure just like Tennessee did. You got to have somebody on the edges, and they're just like right now, they just don't.
Yeah. So answer this then, I guess. If I tell you right now that let's say State in this game against Texas A&M, they only have four penalties for 30 yards. And they only have one turnover, but they were plus one in turnover margin. Do they win?
They forced two turnovers and they
They only have
only have
four
four
penalties.
penalties.
Yeah.
I don't know if that tells a story.
They would be in the fourth. They would be in the game in the fourth quarter at the very
They'd
least.
have they'd be in, they would be in position to win.
Are you at a point now with this team where you've seen enough that you think they're not going to get blown out, right? It's not going to be. Yeah, have you shaken off all of last year at this point?
Yeah, and last year they really held their own. Like
They
until
did,
we
but
see
you went
them,
into the games thinking, ah, they're going to get
no
killed.
chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that those days can happen. I'm not expecting a blowout, because I just feel like this team is at the point now where the effort that they give, the depth that they have enough talent. They should stay in the fight. They have an offense that's capable of scoring points. They should stay in the fight. I would be a little surprised and disappointed if this thing is like a four touchdown game. But I think it's possible. It would not shock me it wouldn't shock me 100% to see that happen. I would be a little surprised. It would be a little bit of a step back, but it wouldn't shock me. And the reason being, State's a little battered right now. They just had a devastating loss to Tennessee. And I don't know. A lot of times I see teams come out of that, and the next week is just kind of, it's just mopey. And that's what I'm looking for this week for Mississippi State. In the same way that we talked about early on in the season after the Arizona State game, how do they respond to winning a big game? I'm looking for how do they respond to losing in devastating fashion.
Yeah.
They are the same thing in a lot of ways. How do you handle winning and how do you handle losing in a very difficult way are the same things. You have to handle both situations with extreme maturity and in a business-like manner. And that's what is going to be my big takeaway from the week is how Mississippi State handled it. I don't think this is a must-win for Mississippi State
Right.
by any means. I don't think they have to go up there and win this game. I just think that it would be really beneficial for this team, and for their public view, for what everybody looks at with Mississippi State, to come out and put up another big fight.
Yeah. I remember asking Lebby about that at the press conference after the Arizona State game. It was like, would you, is it similar when coming off a big win versus a tough loss to how you get your team to focus? And we've hit on this a bunch of times over the past few weeks. He always talks about that. There is no last week, basically. Like, once we get to Monday, we are moving on. We are looking ahead. We don't care what happened last week. Big win, bad loss, don't care. If they can do that, that goes a long way in how you feel about this game. If they can't, because they are just human at the end of the day, and that's a tough loss, and it will sit with you. So if they can't shake that off, yeah, it's going to hurt them. But if there's one thing I have confidence in with Jeff Lebby, it's for him to get his team's attention and have the ability to get them to focus on the next week. He has done it every week he's been here, it seems, at Mississippi State. So we shall see. Let's move into the rest of the show in our interview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother right next door, the home of the fancy sandwich. I haven't been to the Older Brother in quite a while, so I need to make that trip. I think I'm going to do that at the end of the week here. I was supposed to go to lunch with my daughters on Friday. I think we're going to make it an Older Brother trip on that one. And so I hope to see you all there. But if I don't, well, it's always there for you. And of course, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, if you're watching college football this weekend in Starkville, Two Brothers, in my opinion, is the premier place. Plenty of great TVs and the best food to watch the game with, all right there in the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
Brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, or laptops, and then if something does go wrong, you have the confidence that you can just call the exact same number, talk to the exact same people, and get your problem fixed quickly and expeditiously. You can't afford to wait around. Advantage Business Systems doesn't make you do that. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I thought I had found an exclusion at Maroon and Co. Yesterday. Robbie and I went by there. He had to pick up a package that he had ordered, and I found this hoodie that I really liked. And I was like, "Oh, I'm
You
gonna."
mean this?
Is that it?
This is it.
Oh, that's a great. Yeah,
Starkville
there it
versus
is.
everybody
There it is.
and
So
Bottomland.
I saw a hoodie that I liked, and I was like, "I'm gonna get this." And they didn't. The promo code didn't work. I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I found one of the exclusions." Turns out, and some of you, one of you guys reached out to us on the message board. They had an issue with the Thunder 15 promo code, but they got it fixed. So if you tried using it yesterday and you're like, what happened? Try again today. It should be back up and running, and you can get 15% off your purchase of regular price. So many things. The exclusions are not very, they're not a lot of them. It's not what you think. So check it out. Thunder 15. If you're shopping online, it's maroonandco.com, or you can use the promo code in store. Went in there and saw that, they had talked about they were cutting down on like some of the non-Mississippi State gear in there. It is a lot of maroon and white in that store, and they had some really, really cool stuff. Plenty of interlocking, plenty of state script. Go check it out, Maroon and Co. The next time you are here in Starkville. Are you going to be working out in the yard this weekend? It would be a lot easier for you if you had a John Deere mower. I'm just telling you, you need to go over to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden and buy yourself one. If you've got a big yard, you need John Deere power. You need a John Deere commercial mower, and they've got them at Scruggs, and they've got great deals on them. 0% financing, in some cases up to 60 months. So if that's the deal you're looking for, you need to go see our friends over at Scruggs. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, if you're gardening, you're in the yard, you got home repair projects, or if you're just cooking out, they got some great grills on special over there as well. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. All right. Earlier this week, I talked to David Nuno of Tex Ags Radio. I tell him about this. He's become our Texas A&M guy. You know, we have guys, right? Ben McKee is our Tennessee guy. Michael Borky is our Ole Miss guy. Wilson Alexander is my LSU guy. David Nuno has become my Texas A&M guy. So we'll talk to him now on the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline. Allura Modern Wellness. Guys, this was a big party weekend last weekend in Starkville. I hope some of you took advantage of the new IV hydration that they're doing over at Allura Modern Wellness. If you have a rough night out, you wake up the next morning, you're not feeling it, go see our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness, and they can get you back up and running like you should be at the age of 20. But if you're not, hey, I get it. I get it. I get it. And look, whatever it is, recovery is a huge part of your workout. It's a huge part of staying healthy. When you work hard, you have to recover hard. That's what Allura Modern Wellness does for you. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it. Check them out online, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book your services right there online. Let's go down to my interview with TexAgs Radio's David Nuno. You know, we have some people on the show enough that they become our guy for the other team, right? I have an Ole Miss guy. I have a Tennessee guy. David Nuno has become my Texas A&M guy. That's a big honor, David. I'm proud of you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I love talking Aggie football, and I don't know how I feel about when A&M plays Mississippi State, because you look at recent history. Well, you know, last year went in A&M's favor, but like, it's been a tough place to play. You know, it feels tough, man.
And State's had some success at College Station as well. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup, a much improved Mississippi State team. And I would say, you know, through five games, a much improved Texas A&M team from a season ago. They look more complete. They look more explosive. This team has to be outperforming some. I know you had high expectations for them, but they have to be outperforming even that, don't you think?
Yes, but I also think people forget this team was a win away from being in Atlanta last year, right? And when you have quarterback changes every year since 21, right? 21, you had what, two quarterbacks play? 22, you had three. Last year, I mean, every year there's been a quarterback injury or a quarterback controversy. Last year, Connor Wigman isn't right when the season starts. Marcel comes in, does a great job. Connor comes back, plays great against Missouri, isn't right. Like, and then you lose your best offensive player in Le'Veon Moss. It is hard to have consistency, right? And in this modern era of college football, with the transfer portal, with so many changes, like, you just, who can stay the healthiest? Who's got the depth? And last year, I think A&M, you know, there were some self-inflicted wounds, no doubt, right? The Auburn game should have never happened, regardless if last year's Auburn game should have not happened, regardless if Le'Veon's there or not. But when you lose that many players, it is hard to be consistent. But you are correct. This defense looks better this year. Mm-hmm. This offense can be explosive and also go back to the old school ground and pound like we saw a couple nights ago against Auburn, or a couple days ago against Auburn. So, yeah, they're better, but the SEC's better. Mm-hmm. Like, Mississippi State's supposed to be an easy game for A&M. Supposed to be. Yeah. It's not, right? Mississippi State's a real team. They are legit. And I figured Jeff Levy would figure it out, but it seems like he's figured it out a little bit earlier than I was hoping.
So when we look at this A&M team, obviously the return of Le'Veon Moss, huge. You know, that was really what derailed A&M a season ago, in my opinion. The additions of Mario Craver and KC Concepcion, huge additions. In some ways, you know, you had a certain A&M team in the first half of last season, then you had a different team in the second half, and now you have another different team. And Moss is almost an addition at this point, but Craver and Concepcion, again, it feels like they've outperformed what even the highest expectations of them could have been.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask. Willie Lucci, our executive editor, co-owner, he kind of expected this. I don't know if anybody could have expected 200 yards from Mario Craver a couple games ago against Notre Dame. But, like, there were plays to be made last year. A&M just didn't have the explosive receivers. They had really nice receivers, but they just couldn't, you know, break away. They couldn't get separation. These guys get separation. And the beauty is, you know, kind of like some other really good teams over the last few years. All right, let's say you want to put two people on Craver. That's fine. By the way, there's Casey Concepcion. All right, you're going to do everything you can. You're going to stay in high. Okay, no problem. Terry Bussey can go in the backfield. He can also split out back wide. Oh, you're going to try to stop us on the run? All right, we're going to throw a little screen pass on a bubble screen and see what Mario Craver can do. And you all know the potential that was there for Mario, right? You saw it, and he did it against Texas. He did it against Texas A&M last year when he played for Mississippi State. There are some explosive players here, And I also think culture goes a long way. It takes a couple of years, as Jeff Levy's learning, to get your team to play your style of football. It doesn't mean you don't feel some of it in year one, but it sometimes takes at least a full second season to get there. And I don't know what the finished product is going to be for A&M this year, but it feels through four games that if you make as many mistakes as A&M did against Auburn and you play a shootout against Notre Dame and you find a way to win and you're getting better, that becomes scary for the rest of the SEC. But the rest of the SEC is pretty darn deep anyway.
And you mentioned, you know, those two wins, a great win at Notre Dame. Not everybody can go to South Bend and get a win. To play a different kind of game, you know, they've been really explosive offensively in those first three games, and then they had to play a defensive game. I think that's a great sign for Texas A&M. Mentally is where sometimes this team has fallen short sometimes, right? You would say that, you know, I hate to say the BAS. I know there was an article about it the other day on 3, and it seems like this team mentally is stronger than previous Texas A&M squads. Do you see that?
I hope so. It feels that way. But do we ever? I felt that way last year, right? Yeah. Like, look, this fan base just expects bad things to happen. And that's not just this fan base. I have the good fortune of working in Houston most of my career, and I grew up in Houston. Mm-hmm. And football, we just expect leads to go away from the Buffalo Bills and Oilers to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Texans a couple of years ago, right? You kind of expect these things. Until you break through. The Astros were a team like that. They get to the World Series and get swept by the White Sox in 2005. You kind of expect these things to happen until they don't, and then the Astros broke through. The Rockets broke through in the mid-90s. A&M, look, it's a win. Not if, it's a win. This team is going to figure it out. Just like I've expected Texas to figure things out. When you have the resources, when you have the talent in this state, when you have the ability to recruit outside of the state, when all those things, you just got to get the right guy in the head coaching spot. And I loved Kevin Sumlin, and I actually think Jimbo should have worked. I do. And I think Jimbo, I wonder how different we would look at him if in 2020 they got into the playoffs. He would have probably still gotten fired because Appalachian State happened, and, you know, they just weren't. But in college football changed. But we'd probably look at his time at A&M differently. I think Coach Elko's the right guy because he is, first off, one of the smartest people I know. He's legit brilliant. He's a football guy, right? He's a ball guy. And, you know, you got to get lucky. You got to win these tight games. All these SEC games come to a player too. And can you have the mental worth, the mental capacity to overcome these mistakes? A&M almost had a dreadful mistake in that game against Auburn that could have cost them that game. You know, a near pick six, which turned into a touchdown. Like, that's fine. They didn't flinch. The defense went out there and did what they had to do. So, yeah, I think they're mentally better, but you're only mentally better as long as you're healthy.
Mississippi State is a team that sort of thrives on the big play. They are a big play offense. They struggle sometimes keeping drives going when they don't get the big play. Texas A&M, when I've watched them a little bit defensively, the Notre Dame game feels like a little bit of an outlier, that they were unable to stop the Irish, but they were really, really good. I mean, one of the best A&M defensive performances we've seen in quite some time. Last weekend, what is that matchup like in your eyes? State's big play offense versus this A&M defense that has the look of an old school Aggie defense.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Notre Dame because look, the score is not indicative of necessarily how the defense played. And again, the defense has some issues,
right?
But when Jeremiah Love, who was just torching the world, doesn't do what we're used to seeing, I'm trying to find his stats here. He had 23 carries, 94 yards.
94 yards, yeah.
And look, those are nice numbers. I'm not saying they're not, but like and he had two or three like really big runs, as did Jadarian Price, right? So what happens is those big plays have plagued A&M the last couple of years. Last year for sure, in the first part of this year. In the Auburn game, you didn't see explosive plays. You saw one explosive play in the entire game.
Right.
So I think they have figured out some of the, and by the way, there was a huge explosive play in the first game of the season against UTSA. It made the game a little tighter than it felt like it needed to be. Robert Henry Jr. ran for the longest touchdown of the season. It was ridiculous, whatever, 75 yards. And after that, A&M's defense has just stopped everybody. So and I know the score in Notre Dame was a lot higher. It was really more 33 points because they had a punt block.
Right.
But I just think they're getting better. And if you look at the Auburn game, Auburn receivers are legit.
They're good.
Jackson, yeah, they are. I mean, Cam Coleman is one of the best receivers in football. Cam Coleman is great, but Jackson Arnold is struggling. And I think that is A&M was able to, you know, able to frustrate him enough, get in the backfield enough to make him kind of hold on to the ball too long, throw some passes he didn't want to throw. So all that to be said is, as long as A&M can neutralize the big plays, they're going to win a lot of football games. But their issue last year and sometimes this year has been giving up the big play.
I feel like, you know, with State and Tennessee last week, I came into the game, I was like, this is going to be a haymaker game. You're going to see a lot of big plays. And we did. We saw it on both sides of the ball. I don't see that as much this week, but I think they're, especially with Craver and Concepcion, State with Thompson and Evans, those are big play receivers. So I think we're going to see some of that. Marcel Reed has been really good this year, just as steady as can be. You know, I feel like sometimes now with the transfer portal, we forget that players get better a year to year when they stay in the same system. And that's what Marcel Reed has done this year. Blake Shapen has been good this year. He hasn't been great. He's had some ups and downs. Is it going to just come down to which quarterback plays better? Because I think that's what happened last week with State, that Aguilar just played better than Shapen. Can we boil it down to that, do you think?
Well, I'm glad you asked me this because I'm going to give you a long answer. I'm not going to answer the question just yet, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
I think Marcel Reed was really good last year.
Yeah.
I think he was really good last year. He was as good as DJ Lagway last year. Lagway struggled this year.
We talked about this at Media Days, didn't you?
Yeah. And I just want to make sure people understand this. The defense let him down last year, and I love the defense this year. But last year, the defense couldn't stop teams at the end of games. The end of the USC game, like USC was able to move down the field. Beyond the USC game, the Auburn game, they couldn't stop him in the last possession before overtime, and then and obviously in overtime. So what I'm saying is, if those games were reversed and you gave them W's, then you look at A&M, which I know you can't do, but the same exact stats for Marcel Reed, the exact same stats, then you'd be talking about Marcel Reed differently heading into this season. They have fixed the defense. Marcel Reed has taken a step forward. So, yeah, I think he's better. He's still got to get better on the long ball, right? And there's been a 2-3 touchdown this year that if he can just put a little bit more loft on that ball, I think you're talking about 21 extra points divvied up between three games, seven each game, right? He's missed three of those long balls. But the quick release, the quick thoughts, the chemistry he's got with Casey and Mario, that to me has been impressive. Look, I like that young man a lot. I think he's a leader. And we haven't even seen him use his legs yet. Like he uses legs a little bit against Notre Dame, but for the most part, they've kept him in the pocket, and he hasn't had to use his legs just yet.
So one thing we always do on the podcast when we're previewing the game is we pick an X-factor player, a guy. I don't want you to say Mario Craver or Le'Veon Moss or Marcel Reed. Give me a player for Texas A&M on Saturday that maybe they don't have huge stats, but they could make one play that changes this game.
Okay, I'll give you two. I'll give you one on each side of the ball. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm waiting for it, but I feel like Terry Bussey is due, really due. Okay, Terry Bussey is a guy that 2 years ago came in five-star, played at a small school, came in as a wide receiver. Came in as a defensive back. They moved him to the wide receiver, kind of learned the position. He's a jack of all trades, can be in the backfield, can split out wide. If you double Mario and you put a lot of pressure on KC, I think Terry Bussey is going to fight. And Ashton Bethel-Roman too, but I'm doing a Billy Lucci, giving you 12 names, but I'm going to boil it right back down to Bussey. I think offensively, watch out for Terry Bussey. Defensively, this is not going to be, you know, breaking news for anybody who watches A&M this year, but Des Ricks. The guy has been freaking phenomenal. Lockdown corner, he was an issue at the end of last year. Okay, he was a redshirt freshman. He had transferred from Alabama, five-star, all the tools in the world. But teams were picking on him as he started the breakdown. Coach Elko spoke about him yesterday, just like he got tired. Like he played a lot more football than they expected because of depth. Because of that, I think teams took advantage of him. There's no taking advantage of him right now. You're not throwing to his side of the field. Will Lee was so much ahead of him last year. This year, I don't know who the better cornerback is. Like, I legit feel so good about both of those guys. So I'm going to say an X factor defensively is Des Ricks.
All right. It's blackout, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Johnny Cash.
What State's going to do to counter, because, you know, they State had a whiteout last week. So we'll see who I told you that back in the when we had you on during the summer, I was like, I think this should be the Maroon Bowl. Like, the winner gets to stay on with Maroon, but we'll see how it goes. All right. David Nuno, Texags Radio. Appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Brian, I appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon.
We haven't talked much about it, but Craver versus Mississippi State. Do you think there's some is there gonna be some bad blood there?
Could be a little bit. There could be something a little extra in the tank for Mississippi State and for him, I imagine.
I always feel like the other side of that never gets talked about enough. There's always like, yeah, he left, so he's going to come back and try to rub it in his old team's face. Maybe it's like Mississippi State, like, hey, he left us. Let's go get him.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I'm very intrigued to see how that plays out, who's on him during the game, how he does. He's off to a really good start for him. Incredibly dynamic. I mean, losing him was tough for Mississippi State. You don't have a lot like him. Essentially, you got Brennan Thompson, I guess, for Craver.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two different players.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson can take the top off the defense, too. So the production is still good there. But, I mean, you would like to still have Craver in this offense.
Well, the biggest difference is that Thompson's in his last season, and you would have had another year with Craver. But Evans for Coleman has worked
out. And I think also they're two different personalities.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and I think that there was just, you know, a lot of people were kind of ready for a mutual parting of ways there, get a reset of that wide receiver room and go from there. Seems like he's doing really well at A&M. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. One last thing before we get out of here, complete subject change. Robbie, I had no idea that you could put out a schedule in October for baseball and have first pitch times on it in October. I thought you had to wait until like 2 or 3 days before the start of the season. Mississippi State has released its entire baseball schedule. 4 o'clock, first pitch on that Friday. Let's go. We know what time to be there.
I love it. Brian O'Connor is ready, man. He's got the schedule. Does he have the schedule, he has times.
Yeah.
And then the roster. You already have a fall roster.
Yeah.
It feels good, man. It feels really good. This program, I feel like he is running this program like it should be run.
Yeah.
This should be one of the best programs in the country. It should be treated as such. There shouldn't be any hiding from anything. I mean, he's putting everything out there in the open. He's putting the times out so you can get prepared. He's catering to the fans. I love it.
4 o'clock, February 13th, Mississippi State will start the 2026 season against Hofstra. Not the most difficult non-conference schedule, we'll definitely say that, but when you look at what State's doing in SEC play, it literally doesn't matter. As long as State doesn't slip up in non-conference, which under this coaching staff, I'll be honest, I know that's baseball and I know that things can happen, but when I look at this non-conference schedule, I don't see more than maybe one or two losses. Obviously, the Amici Bank College Baseball Series, you're playing, you know, Arizona State's a good program. UCLA is an outstanding program. You've got two games with Southern Mississippi. You know how those could go. Only one game down in Biloxi this year. That's the Tulane game. Then State will head to Fayetteville to start SEC play. You do have the Governor's Cup. I expect State to be very successful in the non-conference, and then we'll see what conference play brings. But I'm just excited to see. We get the email from our good friend Logan Lowry, says the schedules are up, and I looked at it, and I'm telling you, I was in my car. I was outside my mom's house, and I just pulled it up before I went inside. And when I saw that there were times on there, Robbie, when I tell you that I was cackling, I can't describe how hard I was laughing. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. There's times? I didn't know. I didn't know it was a thing.
Yes, one thing to have the schedules. Another thing, 3 or 4 months in advance to have the actual times.
Yeah, and if they have to change the time, like, they change
it. It's like we always said with it. Like, I understand, like, the weather is going to affect things. Set the time and adjust accordingly.
Right.
If it's, you can always come back the day of and say, hey, first pitch has been moving. But set the time so people can at least have an idea.
Exactly.
So, you know?
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow, 3 P's for Mississippi State versus Texas A&M. We'll bring that to you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You live a little bit. special. The next one, then I'm not the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.